Well, if I've seen some new faces here this morning, so if you're a visitor, welcome, and I invite you to hang around for a cuppa with us afterwards. I've just been on leave for a couple of weeks, so if you're a regular and you've forgotten who I am, I'm Glenn, I'm one of the pastors, okay? And I'm also a dad, and as a dad, I always loved to have my kids work hard and then have fun. And so as a dad, I want our kids to have fun, right? So next week I have organised for a slip and slide and some water fun to happen on that grassed area out there. So if you are under 12, make sure you bring your bathers and a towel, and I'll make sure that there's something there that's a little bit more sedate for the littler kids as well. We'll have a bit of fun and we'll all enjoy watching you get wet, okay? So make sure you bring your bathers and a towel, particularly if you're under 12. That's after church on the grass, yeah, while we're having a cuppa. Yeah. All right, so we're at the beginning of a new year, aren't we? We're a couple of weeks into it. Welcome to 2026. New Year's used to be about resolutions, didn't it? It used to be about a fresh start. It used to be about closing off the year that was gone, taking a break, and then coming back refreshed, ready to start a whole new year and get a fresh start at things. But there's been a lot of stuff going on while we've been on Christmas break, hasn't there? A lot of stuff in the world. Events at Bondi have caused fears and tensions to increase. And now we're seeing police carrying automatic weapons amongst crowds for the first time in Australia. Politically, we used to know who our allies were and which team was the right team to be on. But now it's confusing to know whose team we're always on. Who are we siding with? If the world can change this much while we've been on Christmas break, where are we going to be at the end of this year? It feels like it is too late for us to stop and make New Year's resolutions because things have just kept moving on. But all we wanted to do was to take a break. All we want is for things to calm down. We want to make some New Year's resolutions and have everything be fixed, right? But it seems like it's too late. And so today I want to remind us about something that I've needed to be reminded about myself. And it's something that I will admit to you that I'm still wrestling with. This is still some hard stuff that I'm trying to work through myself and what this looks like. So I want you to know that I am preaching to my own heart in this just as much as I am preaching to yours. But I believe that this is something that we all need to hear right now. It's not going to change what's going on out there, but I believe it has the power to revolutionize what's going on in here. And that can change how we respond to what's going on out there. If we can teach our hearts, ourselves, this truth, it will make the difference between us staying in the race through to the end of the year or pulling out. And I believe that God is telling us that this is how we are meant to go into 2026. So first thing, it's time to change our focus. Hebrews 11, the chapter before what we've just had read, focused on the heroes of the faith that were in the Old Testament, beginning with Cain and Abel and going all the way through down the line, the different heroes who had faith that we read about in the Old Testament. And in Hebrews 11, 32, it says, "And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle, and routed foreign enemies. Some faced jeers and flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, that only together with us would they be made perfect. That was chapter 11, focusing on the things of the past. But in chapter 12, there's a shift, a change of focus. And we read about this crowd of witnesses. That was all those heroes of old, the crowd of witnesses who inspired people with their faith and still do. But then it shifts focus onto Jesus, because those heroes can't do for us what Jesus does. Each one of those heroes from the past relied on God, not themselves. Their faith was in God, not in themselves. God promised them an eternal kingdom. God promised them the perfect life in a perfect place with the perfect king. And even though they didn't see it in their lifetime, their faith was based on trust in the character of a God who keeps his word. And when Jesus came into the world, he changed the focus. God vindicated the faith of those heroes in front of all of creation. The perfect king walked among us. God's perfect king came and lived the same human existence that we all live. He faced the same things that we face, the same choices that we do. He lived in a land under oppression from foreign powers that were cruel and selfish. And he forged a path right the way through all of that. Jesus pioneered the walk that we are meant to follow. Because of him, we know what this race looks like. Jesus has cut a path through the wilderness. Have you ever driven down south and seen all the paddocks and everything, and right up to the fence line, there's bush that you could not throw a stick through? What must it have taken for those pioneers to clear that land for future generations? This is what Jesus did. He cleared a path through the wilderness, through the mess, making it easier for us to follow him. But Jesus does more than just set us an example the way the heroes of the past did. He does something that all of those heroes could never do. He perfects our faith for us. In the times when we get off the track, in the moments when we just cannot go on any further, Jesus picks up everything that we are and carries us. He is the perfecter of our faith. He's filled the gap between what we can do and what's needed. We're saved. We finish the race because Jesus makes up the shortfall in us. He perfects our faith in God's eyes. But the race is still a race, not a stroll. It still requires discipline to push through the pain barriers. So the first thing that we're told is to throw off everything that restricts, the sin that entangles us. Have you ever tried to swim with all your clothes on? People have drowned trying to do that because the weight of their clothing restricts their movement. It pulls them down. If we're going to get to the end of this race, We need to be dressed appropriately. We need to throw off the things that entangle us and pull us down. We need to get rid of it. Bad habits that need to be trained out of us, and good techniques that need to be trained into us. And so we're told that God disciplines us as a parent. He trains us. Remember this. A loving parent is active, deliberate, and strategic in preparing their child for adult life. They do more for smaller children because they can't do it for themselves. Toddlers need to be fed. They need to be dressed. They need to have their hand held when they cross the road. But an adult who still needs all of those things, there's something wrong with them. The child has to learn as they grow. They must learn from the lessons what needs to be learnt. That's the point of the process. And so the next thing that we're told to is remember this. God is the ultimate good parent. He disciplines and trains us so that we will grow. The training that comes through tough experience isn't a symptom of neglect. It's proof that we are loved. If God keeps doing everything for us, we won't grow. We won't get stronger. We won't mature as people. We'd become helpless, spoiled brats. We need tough times because they're intended for our good, not for our harm. In fact, the hardships are a sign that we're also making progress in the race. Every runner knows that there are pain barriers that you hit at certain stages in the race. Pushing through those pain barriers requires relying and trusting and leaning on the training that you've done. The Christian race is no different to that. It requires emotional, spiritual, and at times physical discipline to push through and stay in the race. And so hardship and pain is not something to be afraid of. They are not something to avoid. They're a normal part of growing up. They are a normal part of being in the race. They are a normal part of following Jesus, following behind him, who forged a path through all of it and then carries us through the times that we can't keep going. So once we've given ourselves a good heart-to-heart and reset our focus, what's next? What do we do next as we go into 2026? Verse 12 says, to strengthen your feet. Do you like that picture? I chose that for the South Africans amongst us. I'm pretty sure that's a match that the Wallabies won, though. Verse 12 says for us to strengthen our feeble arms and weak knees, to make level paths for our feet. In other words, be strong, go straight. It's normal to be overwhelmed at times. It's normal to feel despondent when we look at what's going on around us, but it's not healthy to stay there. Sometimes we can shake it off ourselves by shifting our focus, to stop looking at the problem around us and to fix our eyes on Jesus. We need to just look at the one leading the way in front of us. Sometimes we need to stop looking at the story in the media and fill our minds with stories about who God is to shift our focus, to stay strong. You see, repetition has a psychological power to shape what we believe. We believe the things that we hear over and over again. Repeated criticism makes us believe that we are no good. Repeated opinions convince us that they are the truth. And sometimes we brainwash ourselves by listening to the wrong things repeatedly until we believe them. But we're told to be strong and to go straight. Refocus your feed so that the lame may not be disabled but rather healed. Put down what's pulling you down and take up the things that will lift you up. But there are still times when we need outside help. We need the help that Jesus offers through the body of Christ, the people that he's given us to run the race with. And God's explicitly told us that he chooses to work through people. And so there are times that he will come alongside us through the people that are sitting in this room. Verse 14 tells us to make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And there's a difference between keeping the peace and pursuing peace. Keeping the peace tries to ignore the problem until it hurts too much and then the relationship's broken. Pursuing peace works to resolve the issue so it's no longer a problem. It operates on the belief that separating from the body of Christ is just not an option. Pursuing peace is what we're told to do. Working as a team to fix our sinful issues because they affect all of us. Each of us have a responsibility to accept correction and discipline and to participate in the training of the people around us so that we finish the race together. We're not running an individual race where the goal is for us to get across the finish line. We're part of a team and the whole team finishes together. And so going into 2026, we need to protect the team. We need to pursue peace between us so that we stay together no matter what is thrown at us. We need to remember this. And that brings us back to where we started. Right at the beginning, we were told to refocus on Jesus, who forged the way for us and perfects our faith for us. Why did he do it? What did Jesus see that we don't see that helped him lead the way? What are we meant to see that will help us this year to live the way that we're meant to? What truth must we stand on in order to pursue peace in contrast to all the negativity and division in the world around us? The picture that we're shown in the later parts of this chapter is one of two mountains. The first one is a description of Mount Sinai when Moses went up and received the law. It was a physical thing, a physical world, a physical manifestation of God's presence. And it was terrifying. And there still remained a barrier between humans, between his people and him. They had to continually work to comply with the law, to have their relationship washed repeatedly. And the second mountain is a picture of Mount Zion, post-Jesus, a spiritual picture where there is unity, where there is the division is gone, the curtain's been torn. We can come to him. That was always the end goal. We're not meant to stay in the physical realm. We are meant to be spiritual beings and think about the world in that way. You see, as Hebrews 12 says, they came to a physical mountain with tangible representations of God, but we come to a spiritual kingdom, a heavenly Jerusalem. We belong to a future kingdom. the promise that was always made, the one that motivated the heroes of the faith. They believed in God's people, in God's chosen place, with God as their king walking amongst them. And that's still to come. The same thing that motivated them to their great feats of faith and to see the race through motivates us, because we belong to a future kingdom, not to this world. So whilst what happens in this world causes us pain, physical pain, emotional pain, it is not lasting pain, because it's part of a world that will not last. We might not get to see the end of it in our days, the way that the heroes of the past didn't get to see Jesus. But that doesn't mean it's not coming. Doesn't mean it's not happening. God has already validated those heroes for their faith. He won't let us down. So like the heroes of old, we might not see it in our lifetime, but it doesn't mean that we won't see it at all. And so we have to repeat this truth about the two mountains, this truth that we are part of a spiritual kingdom. We come to a spiritual mountain where there is no barrier between us and God. That's the truth that we need to repeat to ourselves so that our hearts believe it. And that will change what we see through the lens, because it will change what we believe. And so to recap, the end of the passage says this: therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. You see, being strong and going straight is about disciplining our hearts. It's about training our hearts to be thankful. Why? Because whatever's going on out there is not our future. It's not the end of us. And we can worship God with reverence and awe because He is greater than everything that's going on out there. He will bring that to an end. So remember this: what happens in this world makes life hard, but there is a bigger picture. There is another story that is going on, a true story that we are part of. Jesus has pioneered for us the path through the mess. He leads the way. He's used his machete and taken down all the vines that are there to pull us back. All we've got to do is follow him. And he perfects our faith. When we fall short, he makes it up. We are saved through faith in him. Remember this. Shift your focus away from the world so that you can be thankful and worshiping. Whilst our heart is repeatedly being hit with the narrative of out there, it's going to be harder for us to be thankful. It's going to be harder for us to worship him. And so we need to shift our focus so that we can be who God deserves and who he wants us to be, thankful worshippers. We can take the lessons and the discipline that comes our way, knowing that it makes us stronger. It comes from a loving Father who wants to see us grow. And we can make every effort to pursue peace so that we stay together and we worship together. That is the church that Christ died for. Remember this too. The more we can untangle the emotions of our heart from the world, the more we will be able to live lighter in the world. if our focus stays on who we are following and it stays away from the waves that we are walking on and walking through, we won't sink. Remember what happened with Peter. If we stay focused on him, we get through this. And we live lighter. We respond to what's going on around us in a way that is different to the rest of the world. And we are meant to be different to them. We are meant to be God's people, a lighthouse shining in the darkness, directing people to the source of our faith and strength, the perfecter and pioneer of our walk. That is the way to go. That is how we go into this year that has not given us the usual rest and restoration and reset that we look for. That is how we pick ourselves up, we be strong, and we go straight in 2026. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the wisdom that you have that overpowers and outshines everything that we can come up with. I pray, Father, that you would help us to lean on you more and more and trust you as our daddy, the one who sees more than we see, who knows more than we know, and who has got us. Help us to be your church, the bride that your son is anticipating being reunited with. Help us to love each other well. Help us to grow as individuals and to help others around us grow. Thank you, Father, that your son, before he died, prayed for us that we would be protected and we would not be lost out of his hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.